You're listening to Beating Goliath, the blood, sweat, and tears of healthcare startups. In each episode, we interview a founder or an executive and find out how they're punching above their weight and winning. We'll also have cameos from angel investors and VCs. So if you want to get juicy insider tips, be sure to tune in. And here's your host, tech entrepreneur, advisor, and angel investor, Joyce Tang.
Hi, everyone. Today, our guest is Patricia Meltzer from A Passion for Care. It's an in-home senior care provider. She goes by Pat, is the founder and president of the company. Well, Pat, thanks so much for being on this interview.
You're welcome, Joyce. Thank you for asking me.
Great. Well, I'm really excited to talk to you today because the in-home care industry is really rapidly growing. And so everybody wants to find out what's going on there, right? Because we know that our population is getting older, there needs to be more care, and people are living longer, right? But at the same time, it's also very, very challenging. So maybe we'll just start off by asking, well, when did you start the company? And did you have to have a boatload of money to start it? Or was it, you know, elbow grease and sweat equity?
Yes, that's an excellent question. So we officially started in September of 2010, and prior to that, I had made the decision that this is the business area I wanted to get into. I wanted to become my own boss, having been laid off twice during the downturn of whatever years those were, 2008, 9. And I decided to pick in-home care because I was very passionate about the relationships I had with many grandparents and great-grandparents growing up and personal family needs having to do with my mother-in-law and the journey that she went through over 10 years before she passed. And all of those things came together and decided that I really wanted to do it right. So I went to San Diego State and earned a certificate in gerontology and then the certified nurse assistant and home health aide because those are the people I would be managing. And not having a nursing background, I thought that was definitely something that I needed to do. So started out very slowly, and it was a kind of business that you can bootstrap with no money in advance, and you work hours and you're paid for the hour and then you pay the person. So unlike retail, where you need to be open all of the hours, whether you have customers or not, this is a much better model for getting started on your own.
Right. Wow, that's amazing. And especially after being at home raising your children for 11 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you come back out and you're like, hey, I can do this and I can build this from the ground up. I mean, that's very inspiring for a lot of mompreneurs, right? You know, mm-hmm. mother entrepreneurs out there who are wondering, well, my kids, I have an empty nest, right? Some of them have empty nests, mm-hmm. or some of them, the kids were homeschooled, and now they're wondering, well, you know, I have some free time. I'd love to get back into the workforce. So for you, you know, this is a wonderful story for everybody to hear. And so you didn't just jump in and say, oh, hey, you know, this is booming. I'm going to go do it. You actually studied. You did your homework.
Right. And so by nature, in the 23 years I spent in the computer industry before I stayed home raising my kids, really taught me a lot. I was really a product manager. I was a software engineer, but also a product manager. And that's really who I think I am today. So I am the product manager of my product. And that is what my caregivers provide to our clients, the service that they provide. So I think anyone starting out should go about it in that same way. You are the product manager. You have a clean slate and you can make it the way you want to. And that's very liberating for you to be able to just make it your way. I didn't want to purchase anything from anyone else. I wanted to do it my own way, even if that meant, and it did in the end, waiting some time before there was any money to be, you know, significant money.
Right. Wow.
So we started out,
a product manager. Wow. That's, yeah, I think, you know, all because of your background, you're able to see the parallel in being a product manager. I think that's very well put. So being a product manager in your space where it is regulated, licensing mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. necessary, and precisely because it can be a home-based business and people, they don't need to go into the office, they would go to the clients. And so there will be companies that are obviously offering very high quality product
mm-hmm,
or
correct.
Basically services. Mm-hmm. And then there are those that will be bad apples, like in any industries, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
in your industry, how is that like?
Right now, there are 170 licensed home care organizations in San Diego County. And 2 years ago, the licensing became mandatory. During that time, there has been about a 20% dropout rate. meaning that 20% fail. And to be honest, there are probably another 100 that are operating illegally and unlicensed.
Wow.
That's just an estimate I heard yesterday from someone who is very knowledgeable about the subject. So at any rate, yeah, there is quite a bit of dropout rate. But as I said earlier, you can get started without an office, without a lot of clients. You can start with one, as I did, and grow from there. And if you grow organically, where you're getting by word of mouth, you're providing a good service, and then one person tells the next person, and they tell the next person. It does take time, but it's certainly doable.
So with that high of a dropout rate, that really means they didn't pass some sort of audit, right? Maybe handling, maybe education, maybe their process, or maybe they're just not safe when they're handling clients?
Well, not necessarily that. It's because it is getting more expensive to be in business. Minimum wage keeps rising. And if you don't have a really good product, you can't charge your clients a good amount of money to make a living. And there are also licensing fees now that didn't exist when we started. So all kinds of things. And essentially, and I don't think the general public understands this about home care in particular, but the cost of home care has over doubled since we started. And the reason being that there was an exclusion for caregivers working 24-hour shifts when we started, and they were making a paltry amount of money in the beginning, and we started out paying much more. But in 2014, the Department of Labor at the federal level rescinded that ability for them to be sleeping basically unpaid. And so, therefore, it really doubled the cost of the product. And I don't think the general public knew that. So people who have the resources, it hasn't been a problem, although it's not fun, and a little bit like paying an attorney, perhaps. But, you know, you need it. You need the service. And,
right.
But at the same time, it's not a fun check to write. So anyway, but I think many of the failures aren't from providing a poor service per se, but just that it's difficult to have a small business in California and following all of the rules and regulations and getting your tax payments in on time and those kinds of things. You know, perhaps someone starting out in a new business would want to hire a small business consultant to help them get going, because we had the time and the luxury to learn it ourselves. But if you're really wanting to make a profit sooner, you might need that advice. And I would strongly recommend that someone do that if they don't know the ins and outs themselves to begin with.
I see. So they can just, you know, hit the ground and run with it sooner, right? And start bringing in more revenue and possibly making profit. So with so many companies not making it in your industry, you must have some sort of special sauce that would attract customers to you, right, and allow you to beat the bigger competitors, because I'm sure there are many that started earlier or had deeper pockets or whatnot. And so what is your special sauce?
Well, not sharing too much, and we do run up against the big names, you know, the ones that are franchises that are nationwide, and they have big budgets and big names for sure, and we are getting caregivers from them, we are getting clients from them from time to time, but I think the secret sauce would be just producing the best quality possible. And I think many people go about this particular business, look at the numbers, they go, oh, this is a growing population. This is, you know, we can make a fortune. And if you go about it that way, I don't think you'll survive. You really need to be passionate. That's our name, a passion for care. And you need to be passionate about it. The money will come, but you need to put your heart and soul and blood, sweat, and tears and everything into the product, and then you will be fine.
Right, right. So during that journey, there must have been moments where you feel like, oh, God, why did I get myself into this? Or simply looking at the Goliath, right, and you must feel that, oh, I'm such an underdog. How can I break out of that? Have you ever doubted yourself or being doubted when you were being interviewed? And how did you combat that?
I'm an optimist by heart, but there were times, and I think I can give you a perfect example, in that in the early days, and again, I wanted to focus on quality products, so we joined the San Diego Regional Home Care Council, which has been in existence for about 25 years as an organization of competitors to come together once a month to hear speakers and talk about issues, you know, to produce a better product themselves. And in the beginning, we were pretty much shunned. We were, and my husband and I, who was a business partner, would attend the meetings together. And what we soon learned is that the existing Goliaths didn't want new competitors in the business, in the market space.
Right.
And so they weren't very friendly to us. And just yesterday, literally, I was announced as the chair-elect to be the chair of
that. There you go.
Starting next year.
All right.
You must be persistent and not worry about what other people think against you. I mean, I knew in my heart that we could go up against them on any particular case and do very well. And of course, it does take time, though, to learn. And that's one thing that I have learned as well, is that you're not an expert right off the bat. You haven't had this diagnosis or that diagnosis or 10 of these diagnoses so that you know how they progress and that thing. So it has been a very learning experience for sure, which is incredible. I mean, it's you're learning every day and you're then able to take that knowledge and help other people, and that just feels great.
Right. It's I totally agree. Being a lifelong student, right, it's so important. That mentality, that mindset is actually what makes you an expert or better each day. So there must be a big brick that puts your company on the map. Was there ever a time, you know, that just stays on your mind, wow, you know, that day, things changed?
Not one day in particular, but our revenues have grown every year. So we're in our eighth year now, and our revenues have grown very well every year, very respectably well. And then this February, we essentially doubled. And I can only point to, because people are coming back from the past where we may have taken care of a spouse, a husband or a wife, and then the other one passed and then they didn't need care, and they're coming back. So we have so much repeat business that it's really just shot us up in this particular calendar year. So it's been very heartwarming, because it shows that they were happy with us, and that's been a big one. And then we have several partnerships that we're working on, and that seems to be very helpful as well.
And so for the listeners out there, have you had any quote-unquote potholes that you've stepped on, or setbacks that taught you a lesson, or things that you'll never forget, and how did you bounce back higher?
There have been a couple. I can't say that I haven't had sleepless nights, because I have a couple of times. And it had to do with hiring mistakes. And we have just continually improved our process, turning to different online tools for personality assessments. And that has really proven to be a really valuable step that we have in our process. And then just our hiring process in general has improved. And so we have made a small number, but a few mistakes, and not through, you know, any bad intention or trying to cut corners, but we've learned, and using these other assessment tools has been very helpful.
Yeah, it would seem like your business is heavily dependent on hiring, or the ability to hire great people, right? And as you grow, doubling your revenue and all that, you really need to have a rock solid process to really quickly filter out all the good people and then make the offer sooner than your competitor, right? Before they're snatched up.
Right. So we do pay more, and that helps. That gives us an edge there. And because we've been a home-based business, we have a little more budget in the overhead that we're able to share with the caregivers. And so that certainly has helped attract and retain, you know, the really good quality ones.
So besides people, there's the process, and today we know that technology is so important, and with you having a technology background, being a product manager in the tech world, you also understand, you know, how technology can help you leapfrog your competitor. Does that apply to your business? Do you see where technology can really help you or has helped your competitors, and now you wanted to use technology to help you catapult you as well?
So yes, actually, technology is something that's very high priority for us right now. And we have, for quite some months, probably about 9 months, really had a specific implementation in mind whereby we would have technology in the client sites and promote better communication with the caregivers. And that's still under development, and very excited for that to come about, because there's no doubt in my mind that that will just make things amazing. And yeah, so technology is definitely something that we should be using. All of us should be using. And because some competitors do have bits and pieces, I would say, you know, clock in, clock out, that sort of thing, or reminders of what tasks need to be done. But again, based on my technology background, I think we have ideas that take that to a level I've not heard of that anyone is using.
Oh, that's smart.
It is, right?
Yeah. So it it would seem like as an industry as a whole, technology may not be used because it's such a people-oriented business, right, that there could be competitors, perhaps smaller ones, that are just very manual, using very manual processes and manual-driven, maybe even paper to jot things down. And so do you find that maybe those would tend to be less competitive over time because great people wanted to have smooth process and all that, and the younger ones would be more attracted to good technology as well? Is that fair to say? Is that what
you're saying? That's an interesting point, that the younger ones would be more attracted to it. From what I've gathered, you know, every age group that we have, and we have the entire range that you can imagine, they seem to all be very supportive of going to what we've described will be rolling out very soon. And but, you know, again, you can do everything manually based. It's just not as efficient. You spend your time driving around the county, making personal visits when perhaps you can do things maybe through technology a little differently. So, yeah, there's a great opportunity there.
Right, right, to possibly speed up your growth, right, of what happens if you double your workforce that drive around the city. It's going to be pretty tough, so much tougher. Then on an app somewhere that shows, wow, here's, you know, my entire team and how I can streamline, was like looking at UPS drivers going around. That would be exciting. So talking about age and all that, now if you can travel back in time, having the wisdom, the experience that you now have, what would you tell your younger self, given the kind of wisdom and the experience that you have today? I mean, it could be personal. It could be professional tips.
Well, for sure, I would have started sooner and grown quicker. I was maybe hesitant, too timid to grow too quickly, too fast until I became an expert, you know, in my opinion, in providing the product. But I think I could have gone faster and started sooner. I have always wanted to have my own business, always. And my husband laughs. We have, going back probably 35 or more years, all of my ideas that have come about over that time, and it wasn't until 8 years ago that I actually did something. So I would say if you've got that urge to have your own business, get at it. Start now, because you are aging every day and you want to be able to enjoy the peak of your success at a younger age. And yeah, that would be my advice.
Right. Awesome. Awesome. So in closing, I know that you belong to a couple professional associations. I mean, congratulations to being the chair-elect for the San Diego Regional Home Care Council. That's wonderful. For a lot of CEOs, being a member of some of these professional associations really helps somebody grow as not only a CEO, but also as a person as well. And sometimes, you know, it even gives your business more exposure, right? It could expand your network. So what are some of the business or professional associations that you belong to, and what have been the takeaways, the benefits that you've gotten?
So professionally, from a mentoring standpoint, I've belonged to two different organizations. For over 2 years, I was with the SCORE CEO group here in San Diego. And SCORE is a group of retired executives that do free consulting. And the CEO group is a spinoff from that. And it is a group that meets monthly with a very small nominal charge. And that experience was wonderful. I mean, it was led by two amazing mentors who had substantial business experience that could help in so many different ways. And then a group of peers that met monthly. And we shared our issues and trials and tribulations and successes, too, and that was very good. And then there was another group that I became aware of through a competitor, well, in other ways as well, Vistage International. And they're a similar group. It's a little more intense. It's more expensive, but the groups are larger, and I think you get a bigger pool of advice, people that to gain advice from. And so I've been in that group for just about 1 year now. And both groups have been amazing in helping me have the confidence to grow and in dealing, you know, as a CEO, or if you're the owner of your company, there's no one else to go to. You are the top person, and you may have a spouse, partner, or you may have some friends who have business experience, but not necessarily. With a lot of high tech and large corporations in San Diego, many people have worked for other companies, so they haven't run their own businesses. And finding those people who share that top spot and have to make the hard decisions, it's been really great working with these two different groups. And I would, again, strongly recommend when you're starting out, you're looking to be best practice driven, and that's a good way to go in getting that goal.
I have to give a plug to SCORE as well. I've also used their resources and belong to the CEO group, and the folks over there are just great. And so many of their workshops are low cost, right? And many of the other resources, the mentoring, and could be in person, phone, or email, completely free. And these folks are so experienced in the industry. They're experts. So
to that point, I have just recently attended a workshop on branding. And it was a $20 workshop, and I have engaged the presenter to do a complete rebranding for my business.
Wow.
And I'm super excited because he was unbelievably knowledgeable and professional, and it was 3 hours of solid information, and so much so that I said, this is what I need to go to my next 4-year stretch.
Wow, that's great. So it's $20, you know, that's the investment. So the ROI calculation, that one's easy. It's very easy to justify. Well, great. Great. Well, thank you so much for this interview, Pat. I've really had a lovely time talking to you and learning about your experience, your company, and I wish you the best.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Beating Goliath. I hope you're able to get some useful takeaways. If you think of a guest that's perfect for our interview series, or if you have any comments, I would love to hear from you. Just search for Joyce Tang San Diego on LinkedIn. So now, go kick some butts!